This is Tales, Tunes, and Towtons, a podcast about stories and songs from Newfoundland and Labrador.
We occasionally eat towtons, our favorite food group.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Jen.
I don't know why, when you just said...
Did I say that word?
Our favorite food group. I don't know where my head was, but I was like, our favorite phone book. I don't know.
I'm losing it. Is that from a
show? No, I don't know.
That's the first time you've laughed during the intro.
I am usually like very focused, but I was totally off topic the second you looked at me and was like, okay, I'm ready.
I thought I said it wrong. And we don't have to do it again.
We're good, but I don't know what episode this is.
35.
Episode 35.
Welcome.
Welcome, welcome in the wind.
And the rain.
It is so windy out. It is crazy.
Your house is shaking a little.
It is. The door is like... There's a little gap of air that's getting in between and it's rattling and yeah, it actually like lifts the door off the seal.
There's a wind warning and a rain warning.
Rain too.
Ew. Yeah. So.
Ew. Be careful.
Gross. What's new, Sarah? What's new?
I'm like really off today because I'm also chewing gum and I never, it's out. I never chew gum when I do this. So that
You know,
to
sometimes
go.
I have gum in my mouth when I'm singing.
I do sometimes too, but
people are probably cringing at that.
I usually start with good intentions, like this will be fine, and then I'm like, oh god, I can't concentrate, and then I have to take it out. Well, what's new with me? We just booked for Terra Nova for our summer vacation. Terra Nova, all of the Parks Canada opened their bookings today. Yeah, so we are booked for the Autentics.
That's on my list of things to do.
Is it?
So maybe I should.
Usually,
I'm gonna go on the website right
usually
now.
It books pretty quickly, but your odds are worse because Newman Sound is not. They're doing. Oh my god, I can't talk. They're doing construction in May and June, so they're not open for bookings yet, and that's where the big. That's the biggest park. So we booked Malady Head. Give that a try for something different.
Ooh, I'm on the. Government website here now.
You're gonna keep giving us updates on your booking as I tell you a story.
See, it looks so cool. But my question is, where is the bathroom in relation to the Autentic?
Close enough.
Middle of the night, close?
We've been lucky that our Autentic has been adjacent or across from the facilities.
Right.
So other than that, I think I would just have to hold it all night. I'm too scared. I think I'm all brave, and then I just swing the door open into the black darkness and close it again. Like, nope, I'll be fine. I'll make it through the night.
Funny.
Can't do it. And also, big congratulations to Team Guju.
Ooh, yes.
Won a bronze medal today at the Olympics this morning. Yeah.
My sleep schedule has been not good during this Olympic season.
Yeah.
I go to bed late and I get up early.
You're a big figure skater fan.
Yes. And I did miss the pairs this morning.
Not even on my radar.
Still a long program, so.
Still more to watch. Fine. It's exciting. It's hard when it's in such a faraway place because the time difference is making it difficult.
I have good intentions. I am using the CBC app and I follow the things I'm watching curling and hockey and figure skating mostly.
Okay.
And then I often will like fall asleep and then I'll wake up and then I'll fall asleep and wake up. So.
Well, we were in Corner Brook last weekend skiing. So we would just turn on the Olympics and there was a lot of skiing on TV. Ooh. So that was really fun for the kids because they're just there watching, you know, the snowboarding events, half pike and like, oh my God, crazy. And they're like, oh, I could do that. That's no big deal, you know.
Every Olympic time, I also reminisce about, I don't know what Olympics it would have been if it was winter or summer, but McDonald's used to have, I feel like I've talked about this on this podcast, but maybe I just talk about it so often, I don't realize where I'm talking, like, at. So they used to have these watches that you could collect at McDonald's.
I have no recollection of this.
What? Like.
None.
I'm Googling it. I remember having a white
camping reservation.
Olympic watches. I used to have a white one.
No, I don't. Did they like actually work?
Yes. Legit. two vintage McDonald's 1998 Olympic watches.
Oh, you were like a grown young adult.
Thanks, Sarah. Now, wait. I don't remember this one. This looks swanky. Nagano.
Oh, my God.
Like.
It's like leather strap.
I know. Mine was like white.
I picture.
It was more like this.
I picture like the old cheapy digital.
Like these ones. You can buy it online for $30. Maybe it's unused. So they were Nagano watches. Oh, no. There's one there from 1996, too. So McDonald's. Bring it back.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it. Yep. Anyway, it's been exciting. It's been. Did I ever tell you about? I probably have. I'll just throw it in here really quick. The fun thing our friends would do during the Olympics.
Like cooking?
Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't do it this year, but I guess it's not really COVID friendly.
Right.
We would do the Yum Olympics. So we would, and we've done summer and winter. So you pick a country, and you represent it in your cooking. Mm. And you go to the party, and you get like 10 minutes to prepare your meal. So it's like pretty prepared done, before you get there. And then you plate it all up for all the guests. And then at the end of the night, you vote for the country based on the food.
Nice. I could win that.
Really fun. We've had some good meals and laughs. Yep.
Awesome, awesome.
Yep. So we'll dive into the story.
Here we go. 35.
So today I used, again, still my favorite book, the book that I talked about last time.
I'm going to take a picture of that now and put it up.
Hidden Newfoundland by Scott Osmond. I think I posted it in a story, but you can put it like as a post so that it's there to come back and reference. And again, I think, so I used Wikipedia, but I also use this Heritage website. I think I use it as much as Wikipedia. It's like the Wikipedia for Newfoundland, all things Newfoundland and Labrador. And I found my topic in the book this week. So I think I talked about it last time about how the book is divided. It's divided into areas of the province. So I started the book at the beginning, and that would be on the Great Northern Peninsula. And that's where I found out that there was a radar station in St. Anthony. I knew about the old radar station down in Logie Bay, but I thought that that one was a one-off place. But there's many more.
Ooh.
So I decided to first, so I'm going to call this the Pine Tree Line. I'm going to explain the Pine Tree Line first. And to stay consistent, I'm going to start off with a quote directly from Wikipedia. Who would I be if I didn't? The Pine Tree Line was a series of radar stations located across the northern United States and southern Canada at about the 50th parallel north, along with a number of other stations located on the Atlantic and Pacific coasts. End quote. The reason for this line of radar stations was for early detection of a Soviet bomber attack on North America during the Cold War. By creating these, they would track all aircraft traveling across North America, and it would act as an early warning system. After their creation, they were run by NORAD. What do you think of when you hear the word NORAD?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Should I?
Oh, well, maybe it's like the kids, no. But everybody would track Santa on the NORAD app.
Oh, okay. Now that you say that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah. It's the North American Aerospace Defense Command.
Gotcha.
Which I said was also known as the Santa Tracker. Any kids listening?
And you can like get that. Is that like the one that comes on your TV too?
I think so. I think you can just go to the website. But right. On Christmas Eve, they have a special Santa Tracker.
Never seen it.
Yeah. Sam got his own phone this year. And I remember him like, what are you doing, Sam? It's Christmas Eve. I'm tracking Santa. And these were also staffed by either the United States Air Force or the Royal Canadian Air Force, so the USAF or the RCAF. Planning for these radar stations started by about 1946, but in 1949, the world experienced the atomic bomb in the USSR. So the U.S. Congress moved things along significantly, and from what I can understand, it was the USAF that was leading the project with the aid of the RCAF. And this sounds like not a specific, this is a lot of information about broader than Newfoundland and Labrador, but I feel like I need to explain it all in relation to these places. So the 50th parallel stretches across the south of Canada and across the northern states of the U.S., and the system of radar stations sat within that line. So from what I can see, there were dozens of stations. However, they also placed extra stations along the Pacific coastline and Atlantic coastline within that 50th line of latitude. So if you took, it was interesting, if you took the globe, mm-hmm. which is a circle, and laid it flat on a, like on a surface, yep. then it would be the line that stretches right across the width. So it goes all the way around the globe. But we're just talking about the part that crosses North America. So that's the reason why. When I looked up the Pine Tree Line, there were additional 15 stations or so listed in Newfoundland and Labrador because we're on the coast. The main ones that I'll tell you about today are the St. Anthony Radar Station on the Great Northern Peninsula, the Western Pine Tree Line Radar Station in Port-au-Prince East on the southwest coast near Kippens, and the last and most familiar would be the Red Cliff Radar Station in Logie Bay, Outer Cove, Middle Cove on the Avalon, just outside the city limits here in St. John's. I should also mention that there are many smaller radar stations around the island. They were only listed as gap filler radar stations. They were manned, but would report to the nearest main station. So we have, for example, the La Cie Air Station was a manned gap filler radar station, but was under operational control by the St. Anthony Radar Station. Places like Canadian Force Base in Gander and the CFB, the Canadian Forces Base, Goose Bay, also had operating radar stations. All these stations, both in the main stations and the gap filler stations, were all constructed on the highest level of elevation in the area to avoid as much surface interference from the ground as possible. Totally confused?
Do you know what I realized?
Maybe.
I'm here like looking at Sarah while she's like talking, and I'm like nodding, realizing like
not
people can't see that I'm nodding like and I'm looking.
It's when I wrote all that up and like tried to wrap my head around it, it was one of those like I had to put the words away, paint a picture in my head, and then write it again.
This is one where
it's
like
a bit confusing.
One of your illustrations.
Oh, I don't. I didn't.
You could connect,
but
like
I could
pine. Like little pine trees, you could connect all on the pine.
And then also the 50th parallel, I could be wrong, but like isn't that the name of Katie Lang's album? Isn't there a, or is that the 49th Street parallel? Something else.
I'll Google it while you're talking.
All right. So we have the Pine Tree Line across Canada with 30 plus stations. Then we have extra in Newfoundland and Labrador because we're on a coast. And we have gap filler stations. That's what those are.
Hymns of the 49th parallel.
49th, okay. So let's talk about the three radar stations that I mentioned. St. Anthony, the one in Kippens, and then Red Cliff. And the one in Kippens, which just makes it all the more confusing, tends to be called the Pine Tree Station, although the entire parallel is called the Pine Tree Line, but right. that one specifically gets referenced to as the Pine Tree Station. So Red Cliff was built in 1951, Kippens was built in 1952, and the last one in St. Anthony was built in 1953. I'm going to also mention that the reason why these three are the ones that I'm talking about is because they're the ones that are talked about in the book Hidden Newfoundland. And I'm assuming that's because there's still some remnants of structure
right.
in these places. Because there's pictures in this book, and yeah, you can see. So when the structures were built, they were completely self-sufficient. I find this part so interesting. They all supplied their own water, power, and each had their own dormitories, shops, warehouses, dining halls, and recreational buildings, as well as the operations center. Some had to have interconnecting tunnels or above-ground interconnections between buildings. Then you also have all the jobs that would go hand in hand with all of these buildings. Cooks, maintenance workers, electricians, store workers, and even entertainers. According to the article on the Heritage website, there was no shortage of nightlife at some of these bigger stations.
Ooh.
Yep.
Disco.
So they had concerts, dances, and celebrations, all in the self-contained series of buildings. The article that I'm talking about, and we'll share it in the notes for this episode, was written specifically about the Pine Tree location near Stephenville. And because they had an Air Force base, the band, like the I don't know the proper terminology, but like the band of members from the Air Force, you know what I'm trying to say? Like they would come and do performances and stuff like that. But this article specifically about the Pine Tree location near Stephenville was written in 1998 by students from the Stephenville Integrated High School, and it was edited by their teachers.
Awesome.
So they're the ones that wrote this, so we're going to share that.
Can you hear the wind?
I know, it's crazy. They also wrote about a time when the weather in the area was so bad that the whole top floor of the barracks blew off. Luckily, because many of them just lived in the area and not on site, they only had to rescue a few from the incident. There was a real sense of community at the Pine Tree Station near the one near Kippens. I haven't been to that area of the island. I've only been to Stephenville, and that was just like fly in, fly out for work. Have you been?
No.
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 We'll add it to the list.
Add it to the list.
The radar stations were, in some cases, only active for a decade. There were millions of dollars spent on the construction and technology, but that technology changed so quickly that it became redundant really fast. The Pine Tree location near Kippens was operational the longest. Deactivation didn't happen there until 1971, but Red Cliff was deactivated in 1961 and St. Anthony in 1968. Have you been to the Red Cliff
station? Well, I'm looking in the book as Sarah's reading. Talking and I'm like, can you go visit? Can you see this?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. And
so yeah, like I find it so amazing that so much of like this was such a huge place and all it is there now is ruins, and it's
and
amazing.
Graffiti.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of graffiti. And so Red Cliff, for example, was only used for about a decade. And it's been slowly crumbling for 60 years since then.
Well, I'm looking at this picture being like, I don't know if I'd go down.
I know. Some of them are, well, okay, so I'll get to that. I'm going to finish this part and then I'll tell you about it. I took the kids there.
Recently?
Last year during the lockdown.
Right.
So we walked in and it's a little bit creepy. And I was expecting it to just be like one building with like crumbling concrete and lots of graffiti, but it was like, oh my God, so many buildings. It was huge.
I wanna go.
Huge. And because it was winter and not like the height of winter, it was sort of thawing winter. You couldn't get down to anything. Like there's old concrete structures down over the hill. And so that there's a picture in there where it looks like one side of the roof tipped in.
Yes.
Yeah. So like I have a feeling I remember where that was, but I didn't actually get down there to that one. But from the pictures online and in the book, it looks like St. Anthony only has a little bit of a foundation left.
Right.
So you can go up to where it was, but you might not even know what it was if you weren't aware. But the one in closer to Stephenville still has that dome.
Mm-hmm.
So that one would be really cool to visit. And then the one Red Cliff, that would be
more.
There's a lot. It's pretty elaborate. There's been a lot of, like, I feel like someone maybe on CBC or NTV visited it recently and interviewed someone there, and it was talked about. Maybe we can find a clip of that. But lastly, I just want to mention this website that I found, militarybruce.com, and it's all about Canadian military history. And there's a section on it about Newfoundland and Labrador, and there's a ton of aerial images of all the radar sites. It's really cool to picture or to look at the pictures now after hearing the story. So I would highly recommend visiting that website. We're going to link it in the bio as well. And in Scott Osmond's book, he also gives the exact coordinates of all the locations. So he also gives you directions on foot. After everything he talks about, he puts that little bit of information there. So for anyone in the St. John's area, if you're not already familiar, the Red Cliff radar station is at the end of Red Cliff Road, and there's a new parking lot in the area because there's a couple entrances to the East Coast Trail. There's like different trailheads there. And like I said, we took the dog and I took the kids and I did take my camera. So I do have some pictures that we can share.
Yeah, I wonder, like, I can't picture where it is right now, but like I've definitely been, you know, in Torbay and walking, like you said, the East Coast Trail and Logie Bay or whatever. No, Logie Bay, right?
Yep. Yep.
Logie Bay article.
Yep.
And I wonder if like I've been around like
close by it, close not even it know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably. But that's probably it. The Pine Tree Line.
We should go now or in the wind. It'd be extra scary.
Definitely. Your turn.
Cool. Very interesting. Okay, so my song today is called The Tiny Red Light. Do you know this song?
Not familiar.
Oh. So this is from my ever so loyal Catch a Hold This One Songs of Newfoundland Labrador Volume 1, edited and arranged by Eric West. And I also referenced a CBC article posted today, February 18th, 2022, which I'll get into a little later. But this song, I'll tell you what it's about a little. It's a song about a sea disaster.
Okay.
There's this young girl who has a red light in the window on a dark evening, and then her father comes home from work, and he's upset that he didn't sell enough fish that day.
Ooh.
So he's a little angry and upset, and he takes a light from the window that the young girl has placed in there and saying, we need to save this oil. It needs to last,
okay,
you know, for a little longer. The young girl, you know, begs her father to leave the light up in the window for the sailors who are out at sea. And the next morning, there's a knock at their door and someone saying that three tiny ships went down in a storm. And I think it's one of a sailor and says, tells them this story that, hey, we were following the light that was in the window, but then it went out. And the last line of the song is, many were drowned on the billows last night that might have been saved by your tiny red light. It's aww, like the most little tragic.
Yeah.
It's a really sweet melody, but it's really, really tragic, you know?
Yeah.
This little girl with a light in her dad, you know, like obviously imagine. He didn't know, you know?
Neither did she, probably.
Yeah.
She was just probably using her imagination that it could help them.
I don't, like, the lyrics say the mother tells her to put.
Oh, the, so, yeah.
Yeah, put the light in the window.
Okay.
Because it's dark and cloudy outside.
Okay.
So she goes, yes, da, da, da. And, yeah, I mean, that's neat. The story. The text and melody are from Bride Rose of Red Island, Placentia Bay. As recorded by Eric West, so I mentioned this version is edited and arranged by Eric West, in 1978 at her resettled home in Freshwater.
Okay.
When I was Googling about this, it was recorded by a group called the Dorymen, who I had not heard of, I don't think, but a group from Newfoundland. And their members...
Is it an old recording? Or is it like
Well, I think... They released an album in 1972.
Okay.
Of this song as a track. And like other songs on this album were Muscles in the Corner, The Banks of Newfoundland.
Okay,
so they sang Newfoundland traditional music. And the members are Al Parsons, Dave Murphy, John Drake, Ken Griswold, Linda Stone, and Tom Rose.
Okay.
So I need to listen more of the Dorymen. So I chose this song this week because earlier in the week was actually the anniversary of the sinking of the Ocean Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to episode 13 where Sarah and I talk and sing about the Ocean Ranger. And also this week, the same, I think it was Tuesday. Tuesday was the anniversary of mm-hmm. the loss of the Ocean Ranger. And I also believe on Tuesday there was a Spanish fishing vessel that sank off the coast of Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
There were three crew members who were rescued. They were found in a lifeboat with four who had perished. And after a two-day search and rescue mission, they just called it off yesterday afternoon. There was a total of 9 people recovered, and 12 crew members are still missing. As of yesterday when the search was called off, there's a total of 24 crew on board. And even this morning, so this is the CBC article I mentioned at the beginning, a ship arrived this morning carrying some of the bodies of the crew, and tomorrow they're expecting the Canadian Coast Guard to escort 2 other ships that have the 3 survivors and other bodies. And of the survivors, it includes the captain and his nephew.
Wow.
So I chose this because, you know, I think as long as there is the sea,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be disaster and tragedy, heartbreak. And, and you know, I was even in my choir rehearsal with my kids this week saying, we're singing Your Last Goodbye, mm-hmm. which you can hear in episode 13. We were talking about this Spanish fishing vessel. And well, I'm like, it happened on the anniversary. Like
the timing. Yeah. Is so,
so it's, you know, these songs and these stories are still relevant today. And mm-hmm. so this is the tiny red light. Place a light in the window, my darling, she said, as she gazed at the dark, cloudy night overhead. The little girl ran with her eager delight as she placed in the window the tiny red light. Her father came home from his work withered cold, angry and cross, his fish was not sold. He said that the oil was to last for tonight, when he took from the window the tiny red light. Oh, Father, dear Father, don't take it away. Think of the poor sailors far out on the bay. For if you had seen what had happened last night, you would leave in the window the tiny red light. Early next morning came a knock on the door. A sailor stood pointing far out on the shore. Three tiny ships went adrift in the gale. With tears in his eyes, told the father his tale. We followed your tiny red light, said the man, when it vanished from sight on the rocks our ship ran. Many were drowned on the billows last night that might have been saved by your tiny red light.
Beautiful.
Very sad.
It is.
Tragic.
Mm-hmm.
But a really nice melody.
It's funny. It's not funny, but all I could think about when I heard you singing that, do you remember when we laughed so much about, I think it was a humdinger, and it was like Gray Foggy Day, but it was like four songs that I kept guessing, and it wasn't any of them, and you were like, no, Sarah, and I'm like, they all sound the exactly same. The same.
Maybe there are.
I don't know why. It just reminded me. Is that Gray Foggy Day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I got that right.
On a gray, foggy day.
And what was the one?
Summer day.
And I thought it was Que Sera.
All right, Sera. Yes. No, it's not a folk song.
But then there was another song that sounded just like those two. Anyway, I'll have to go back and listen. That's so funny. Yeah, we'll have to.
Coming to you soon.
Absolutely.
We've only ever done one, hey?
I think we did two. We did a Christmas one. All right. And we did one around May 24th, I think.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, they were lots of fun. They're in the list if you want to go back and listen. So that's it for today. Mm-hmm. Hope you enjoyed, and you'll hear from us soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Our theme song is McAlpine's Crew by Matthew Byrne. Thanks to Matthew for allowing us to use it. You can learn more about Matthew and his music at matthewbyrne.net.
You can find Tales, Tunes, and Towtons on the following platforms: Facebook and Instagram at Tales, Tunes, and Toutons, TikTok at Tales, Tunes, Toutons, and Twitter at Tales, Tunes, Pod, NL.
To get in touch with us, send an email to talestunestoutons@gmail.com.
And last but not least, please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And don't forget to rate us and leave a review so we can continue to grow.